Previously on the Grin and Bear It Show.
The Government Meteorological Bureau has requested the large observatories of the country to keep an astronomical watch on any further disturbances occurring on the planet Mars.
Seismograph registered shock of almost earthquake intensity occurring within a radius of 20 miles of Princeton. Please investigate.
It is reported that at 8:50 p.m., a huge flaming object, believed to be a meteorite, fell on a farm in the neighborhood of Grover's Mill, New Jersey. We have dispatched a special mobile unit to the scene, and we'll have our commentator, Carl Phillips, give you a word description as soon as he can reach there from Princeton.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the most terrifying thing I have ever witnessed. Wait a minute. Something's crawling out of the hollow top. Someone or something. I can see the peering out of the black hole two luminous disks. Are they eyes? It might be a face. It might be. Good heavens. Something's rising out of the shadow like a gray snake. Now there's another one. And another. They look like tentacles to me. The face. It, ladies and gentlemen, it's indescribable. The eyes are black and gleam like a serpent. The mouth is V-shaped with saliva dripping from its rimless lips that seem to quiver and pulsate. This is the most extraordinary experience. I can't find the words.
Solid metal, kind of shield-like affair rising up out of the cylinder. It's going higher and higher. Why, it's standing on its legs, actually rearing up on sort of a metal framework. Now it's reaching above the trees. The searchlights are on it. Hold on.
And now, the conclusion of H.G. Wells' The War of the Worlds on The Grin and Bear It Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have a grave announcement to make. Incredible as it may seem, both the observations of science and the evidence of our eyes lead to the inescapable assumption that those strange beings who landed in the Jersey farmlands tonight are the vanguard of an invading army from the planet Mars. The battle which took place tonight at Grover's Mill has ended in one of the most startling defeats ever suffered by any army in modern times. 7,000 men armed with rifles and machine guns pitted against a single fighting machine of the invaders from Mars. 120 known survivors. The rest strewn over the battle area from Grover's Mill to Plainsboro, crushed and trampled to death under the metal feet of the monster, or burned to cinders by its heat ray. The monster is now in control of the middle section of New Jersey and has effectively cut the state through its center. Communications lines are down from Pennsylvania to the Atlantic Ocean. Railroad tracks are torn and service from New York to Philadelphia discontinued except routing some of the trains through Allentown and Phoenixville. Highways to the north, south, and west are clogged with frantic human traffic. Police and Army reserves are unable to control the mad flight. By morning, the fugitives will have swelled Philadelphia, Camden, and Trenton. It is estimated to twice the normal population. At this time, martial law prevails throughout New Jersey and eastern Pennsylvania. We take you now to Washington for a special broadcast on the national emergency. The Secretary of the Interior.
Thank you. Citizens of the nation, I shall try not to conceal the gravity of the situation that confronts the country, nor the concern of your government in protecting the lives and property of its people. However, I wish to impress upon you, private citizens and public officials, all of you, the urgent need of calm and resourceful action. Fortunately, this formidable enemy is still confined to a comparatively small area, and we may place our faith in the military forces to keep them there. In the meantime, we must continue the performance of our duties, each and every one of us, so that we may confront this destructive adversary with a nation united, courageous, and consecrated to the preservation of human supremacy on this earth. I thank you. No time for questions.
You have just heard the Secretary of the Interior speaking from Washington. Bulletins too numerous to read are piling up in the studio here. We are informed the central portion of New Jersey is blacked out from radio communication due to the effect of the heat ray upon power lines and electrical equipment. Here is a special bulletin from New York. Cables received from English, French, German scientific bodies offering assistance. Astronomers report continued gas outbursts at regular intervals on planet Mars. Majority voice opinion that enemy will be reinforced by additional rocket machines. Attempts made to locate Professor Pearson of Princeton, who has observed Martians at close range. It is feared he was lost in recent battle. Langham Field, Virginia. Scouting planes report three Martian machines visible above treetops, moving north towards Somerville with population fleeing ahead of them. Heat ray not in use. Although advancing at express train speed, invaders pick their way carefully. They seem to be making conscious effort to avoid destruction of cities and countryside. However, they stop to uproot power lines, bridges, and railroad tracks. Their apparent objective is to crush resistance, paralyze communication, and disorganize human society. Here is a bulletin from Basking Ridge, New Jersey. Hunters have stumbled on a second cylinder similar to the first embedded in the Great Swamp 20 miles south of Morristown. Army field pieces are proceeding from Newark to blow up second invading unit before cylinder can be opened and the fighting machine rigged. They are taking up position in the foothills of Watching Mountains. Another bulletin from Langham Field, Virginia. Scouting planes report enemy machines, now three in number, increasing speed northward, kicking over houses and trees in their evident haste to form a conjunction with their allies south of Morristown. Machines also sighted by telephone operator east of Middlesex, within 10 miles of Plainfield. Here's a bulletin from Winston Field, Long Island. Fleet of Army bombers carrying heavy explosives flying north in pursuit of enemy. Scouting planes act as guides. They keep speeding enemy in sight. Just a moment, please. Ladies and gentlemen, we've run special wires to the artillery line in adjacent villages to give you direct reports in the zone of the advancing enemy. First, we take you to the battery of the 22nd Field Artillery, located in the Watchung Mountains.
Range, 32 meters.
32 meters.
Projection, 39 degrees.
39 degrees.
Fire!
Yards to the right, sir.
Shift range, 31 meters.
31 meters.
Projection, 37 degrees.
37 degrees.
Fire!
A hit, sir. We got the tripod of one of them. They stopped. The others are trying to repair it.
Quick, get the range. Shift, 30 meters.
30 meters.
Projection, 27 degrees.
27 degrees.
Fire!
Can't see the shell land, sir. They're letting off a smoke.
What is it?
A black smoke, sir. Moving this way, lying close to the ground. It's moving fast.
Put on the gas masks.
Get ready to fire. Shift, 24 meters.
24 meters.
Projection, 24 degrees.
Roger, 24 degrees.
Fire!
Still can't see it, sir. The smoke's coming nearer.
Hurry, quick. Get the range. Meters.
23 meters.
Projection, 22 degrees.
22 degrees.
Army bombing plane, V-843 off Bayonne, New Jersey. Lieutenant Voigt, commanding 8 bombers, reporting to Commander Fairfax, Langham Field. This is Voigt, reporting to Commander Fairfax, Langham Field. Enemy tripod machines now in sight. Reinforced by 3 machines from the Morristown cylinder. 6 altogether. 1 machine already crippled, believed hit by shell from Army gun in Watchung Mountains. Guns now appear silent. A heavy black fog hanging close to the earth of extreme density. Nature unknown. No signs of heat ray. Enemy now turns east, crossing Passaic River into the Jersey Marshes. Another straddles the Pulaski Skyway. Evident object is New York City. They're pushing down a high-tension power station. The machines are close together now, and we're ready to attack. Plane circling ready to strike. 1,000 yards, and we'll be over the first. 800 yards. 600 yards. 400. 200. There they go. The giant arm raised. Green flash. They're spraying us with flames. 2,000 feet. Engines are giving out. No chance to release bombs. Only one thing left. I'm dropping on them. Plane and all. We're diving on the first one. Now the engine's gone. Eight.
This is Bayonne, New Jersey calling Langham Field. Bayonne, New Jersey calling Langham Field. Come in, please.
This is Langham Field. Go ahead.
8 Army bombers in engagement with enemy tripod machines over Jersey Flats. Engines incapacitated by heat ray. All crashed. 1 enemy machine destroyed. Enemy now discharging heavy black smoke in direction of...
This is Newark, New Jersey. This is Newark, New Jersey. Warning! Poisonous black smoke pouring in from Jersey marshes. Reaches South Street. Gas masks are useless. Urge population to move into open spaces. Automobiles use routes 7, 23, and 24. Avoid congested areas. Smoke now spreading over Raymond Boulevard.
2X2L! 2X2L! Calling CQ! 2X2L! Calling CQ! 2X2L, calling 8X3R. Come in, please.
This is 8X3R, coming back at 2X2L, over.
How's reception? How's reception? Kate, please. Where are you, 8X3R? What's the matter? Where are you?
I'm speaking from the roof of the Broadcasting Building, New York City. The bells you hear are ringing to warn the people to evacuate the city as the Martians approach. Estimated in the last 2 hours, 3 million people have moved out along the roads of the north. Hutchinson River Parkway still kept open for motor traffic. Avoid bridges to Long Island. Hopelessly jammed. All communication with Jersey Shore closed 10 minutes ago. No more defenses. Our army wiped out. Artillery, Air Force, everything wiped out. This may be the last broadcast. We'll stay here to the end. People are holding services below us in the cathedral. Now I look down the harbor. All manner of boats overloaded with fleeing population pulling out from docks. Streets are all jammed. Noise and crowds like New Year's Eve in city. Wait a minute. Now in sight above the Palisades, 5 great machines. First one is crossing river. I can see it from here, wading the Hudson like a man, wading through a brook. A bulletin's handed me. Martian cylinders are falling all over the country. 1 outside Buffalo, 1 in Chicago, St. Louis. Seem to be timed and spaced. Now the first machine reaches the shore. He stands watching, looking over the city. His steel, callish head is even with the skyscrapers. He waits for the others. They rise like a line of new towers in the city's west side. Now they're lifting their metal hands. This is the end now. Smoke comes out. Black smoke drifting over the city. People in the streets see it now. They're running towards the East River. Thousands of them dropping in like rats. Now the smoke's spreading faster. It's reached Times Square. People trying to run away from it, but it's no use. They're falling like flies. Now the smoke's crossing 6th Avenue, 5th Avenue, 100 yards away. It's 50 feet.
2X2L, calling CQ. 2X2L, calling CQ. 2X2L, calling CQ. New York, isn't there anyone on the air? Isn't there anyone on the air? Isn't there anyone? 2X2L!
You are listening to the Grin and Bear presentation of the classic radio drama War of the Worlds by H.G. Wells. This performance is sponsored by KETR right here on the campus of Texas A&M Commerce.
Baby, don't love me anymore. quick. Jack jumped over that candlestick.
I thought I would write a few words, and I don't know who I'm writing them for. I may be the last living person on the earth, but these are my thoughts and my reflections. From time to time, I catch a sight of a Martian above the black smoke. The smoke still holds the house in its black coil, but at length there is a hissing sound. And suddenly, I see a Martian mounted on his machine. He's spraying the air with a jet of steam as if to dissipate the smoke. I watch in a corner as his huge metal legs nearly brush against the house. Now I'm in Newark, and it's undemolished, but humbled by some whim of the advancing Martians. Presently, with an odd feeling of being watched, I caught sight of something crouching in a doorway. I made a step toward it and discovered a young lady with a glare in her eyes.
Stop! Where did you come from?
I come from many places. A long time ago from Princeton.
Princeton, huh? Well, that's near Grover's Mill.
Yes.
Grover's Mill. Ha! There's no food here. This is my country. All this end of town down to the river. There's only food for one. Which way are you going?
You know, I don't know. I'm looking for people.
What was that? Did you hear something just then?
Only a bird. A live bird.
You get to know that birds have shadows these days. Say, we're in the open here. Let's crawl into this doorway and talk.
Hey, have you seen any Martians?
Nah, they've gone over to New York. At night, the sky is alive with their lights. Just as if people were still living in it. By daylight, you can't see them. 5 days ago, a couple of them carried something big across the flats from the airport. I believe they're learning how to fly.
Fly?
Yeah, fly.
Well, then it's all over with humanity. Stranger, there's still you and I, two of us left.
They got themselves in solid. They wrecked the greatest country in the world. Those green stars, they're probably falling somewhere every night. They've only lost one machine. There isn't anything to do. We're done. We're licked.
Hey, where were you? You're in a uniform.
Yeah, what's left of it. I was in the militia, National Guard. That's good. Wasn't any war any more than there's war between men and ants.
And we're eatable ants. I found that out. Hey, what will they do with us?
I've thought it all out. Right now, we're caught as we're wanted. The Martians only has to go a few miles to get a crowd on the run. But they won't keep doing that. They'll begin catching us systematic-like, keeping the best and storing us in cages and things. They haven't begun on us yet.
Not begun?
Not begun. All that's happened so far is because we don't have a sense enough to keep quiet. Bothering them with guns and such stuff, and losing our heads and rushing off in crowds. Now, instead of our rushing around blind, we've got to fix ourselves up. Fix ourselves up according to the way things are now. Cities, nations, civilization, and progress, done.
But if that's so, What is there to live for?
Well, there won't be any more concerts for a million years or so, and no nice little dinners at restaurants. If it's amusement you're after, I guess the game's up.
And what is there left?
Life. That's what I want. I want to live. Yeah, and so do you. We're not going to be exterminated. And I don't mean to be caught either, and tamed, and fattened, and bred like an ox.
Well, what are you going to do?
I'm going on, right under their feet. I got a plan. We men as men are finished. We don't know enough. We gotta learn plenty before we've got a chance. And we've got to live and keep free while we learn, see? I've thought it all out, see?
Well, tell me the rest.
We'll live underground. I've been thinking about the sewers. Under New York are miles and miles of them. The main ones are big enough for anybody. Then there's cellars, vaults, underground storerooms, railways, tunnels, and subways. You begin to see, huh? And we'll get a bunch of strong men together. No weak ones. That rubbish, out.
So that's your plan.
You and me, and a few more of us, and we'd own the world.
I see.
Say, what's the matter? Where are you going?
Not to your world. Goodbye, stranger. I caught sight of the hood of a Martian machine standing somewhere in Central Park. It was gleaming in the late afternoon sun. An insane idea. I rushed recklessly across Columbus Circle and into the park, and I climbed on a small hill above the pond at 60th Street. From there, I could see, standing in a silent row along the mall, 19 of those great metal titans. But their cowls were empty, their great steel arms hanging listlessly by their sides. I looked in vain for the monsters that inhabit these machines. And suddenly my eyes were attracted to an immense flock of black birds that hovered directly below me. They circled to the ground, and there before my eyes, stark and silent, lay the Martians, with the hungry birds pecking and tearing brown shreds of flesh from their dead bodies. Later, when their bodies were examined in the laboratories, it was found that they were killed by the putrefactive and diseased bacteria against which their systems were unprepared. Slain after all man's defenses had failed by the humblest thing that God in his wisdom put on this earth. Before the cylinder fell, there was a general persuasion that through all the deep of space, no life existed beyond the petty surface of our minute sphere. But hey, now we see further. Dim and wonderful is the vision I've conjured up in my mind of life, spreading slowly from this little seed bed of the solar system throughout the inanimate vastness of sidereal space. But it's a remote dream. It may be that the destructions of the Martians is only a reprieve. To them, and not to us, is the future ordained, perhaps. At Princeton, writing down this last chapter of the record, begun at a deserted farm in Grover's Mill. Strange to see from my window the university spires dim and blue through an April haze. Strange to watch children playing in the streets. Strange to see young people strolling on the green where the new spring grass heals the last black scars of a bruised earth. Strange to watch the sightseers enter the museum where the dissembled parts of a Martian machine are kept on public view. Strange when I recall the time when I first saw it, bright and clean-cut, hard and silent, under the dawn of that last great day.
Tonight, the Grin and Bear Show and KETR present to you The War of the Worlds by H.G. Wells. We'd like to thank our producer, Matt Minky, host of Notably Texan, for making this possible. Cast of War of the World included Brad Bergen as Carl Phillips, Gary Herbst as Professor Pearson, R. Kevin Morris as the announcer, Eve Gish as the news anchor and the stranger, Matt Minky as Captain Lansing and the Secretary of the Interior, and David Gish as Mr. Wilman. Join us next month as we bring you another episode of the Grin and Bear Show right here at 88.9 KETR, the place for homegrown Texas entertainment.
Listener contributions make our programming possible. Please give generously by clicking Support This Station at the top of the page at KETR.org. Thanks for tuning in.